The following podcast may contain sensitive language for young listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome into our Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host of the Keenan Friends Podcast, Ben Brennis, joined today by Evan Peterson. How are you doing, Evan? We've missed you.
Yeah, sorry I haven't been around, but, you know, life takes its turns, and sometimes you got to seed the way to young talent. Colin Weatherwax held it down very well in my stead, so I'm happy to be back chatting with you guys. Yeah, let's talk some baseball.
I mean, I kind of feel obligated to tell you that at this point we've reworked the contracts and Colin's actually not the fill-in anymore. You're technically the fill-in at this point, so I don't know how to break it to you, but that's me breaking it to you.
Well, that's all right. I've always been the scrappy guy at the bottom of the roster, clawing his way up to the top, and so if I got to take him out, then I got to take him out, and it is what it is.
So you're like Johan, like Ryan Flaherty or something?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about guys that actually led the National League in hitting for a day, and it wasn't the first day of the season, I mean, yeah, that's me. I'm, you know, cleaning up.
Fair enough. Well, we also welcome in Ray Kuhn. How are you doing today, Ray?
I'm good. It's nice to have Evan back, and we got a full house here today, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. It should be a good episode. I'm looking forward to getting to talk about the interesting topic that we have at hand today. And I'm pretty sure no one's excited for Group 3, but that could easily end up being like a 45-minute conversation, just that one group.
Yeah, that was my way of just sticking it to everybody.
It's a good thing I don't have a cat in that race. we also welcome in Colin Weatherwax. How are you doing today, Colin?
I'm doing good, Ben. So, Evan, if you're Flaherty, does that make me Ronald Acuna? Because I'll take that every day.
That's you can be Acuna if I can be Preston Tucker, man.
That's fine. I'll be the number one prospect.
I think Colin might be Ozzie Albies since he's actually already up and producing.
Oh, I thought you were saying he was Ozzie because he just can't keep his helmet on.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how often he wears a helmet or not.
Well, I got an afro going, so that kind of ties into it. So that's Ozzy's problem, and I'm taking after him. So I'll go with Ozzy.
Hey, it's not a bad way to go, that's for sure.
What does that make Ray Kuhn, then?
Dansby Swanson.
Freddie Freeman. It's my show. I'm here.
And Ben Brennis would be your Tyler Flowers.
I thought it would have been Ender and Ciarte. Someone who's always at the front, but clearly is not producing to this point of the year. I thought that would be me.
I'd say Marcakis, kind of just there. No one really expects much of him.
So why is this a Braves podcast now?
I have no idea, and I didn't even think.
we're trying to welcome Evan back nicely. That's all.
Yeah, we're throwing
just a party rolling now. Out the red carpet for Evan.
Don't worry. In about 20 minutes, it's going to turn into an Atlanta Falcons podcast, and then we're going to talk about the Super Bowl blow up, and then we're just
going to go all hell. Wait, kidding me? So now we're gonna blow this in the second half?
There's a pretty good chance because that happens every time Evan's on the podcast.
All right. Let's get back on the rails. Let's get into some. We have a great show planned for you guys. We're going back to the old school well for a concept pod here.
You know, this is the first time I've ever heard Evan ask us to get back on the rails. Usually it's Evan who's taking us off the rails.
Usually, that's how you know we're really bad so far.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're like 12 minutes into the show, it feels like, and we haven't even discussed what we're talking about. So,
well, he's just showing up in the first half, just like the Atlanta Falcons. So,
oh, see, this is why we have Colin fill in.
Damn.
Man. Okay, here we go.
Evan, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter before we get started?
I can be reached at EvFWFB on the Twitter. Please, send us questions, rates, and reviews. Give us all the good stuff.
And what about you, Ray?
@Ray_Kuhn_28.
And what about you, Waxy Gordon?
I'm @CWeatherWax13.
And I can be reached at @BBrandisFWFB. I'll give 10 points to anyone who knows the reference that I just made.
That would assume anybody was listening, but no, I can't give you that reference. I apologize.
No one here watched Boardwalk Empire?
Nope.
Oh, nope, on your own island.
You guys are all disappointing.
Oh. Nope. Sorry.
All right, well, today we're going
to... Ben's schooling us on pop culture. This is a new thing.
This is bad. I mean, I get it's about New Jersey, so you had to watch and be interested. I get it.
I mean, it was a great show. I thought it was, but today we're going to be doing a Mary Fuck Kill episode, and we got a bunch of great groups for you that we've put together, and I expect everyone to very much enjoy the conversations that we have. So why don't we get started? And the first group that we're going to be talking about is Miguel Cabrera, Matt Olson, and Justin Bohr. So let's start with you, Ray.
I am marrying Miggy just because he's kind of like that old standby. You don't want to forget about Miggy. He's out of the top 100 players at this point. He's probably going to have a nagging injury, but you've had a lot of good times, and I don't think you should just discard him out of nowhere. And as far as kill, I'm going to kill Matt Olson. I think Olson has a lot of potential. There's a lot of power there. Obviously, we know about what he did when he came up last year, but it's taken him a little bit to get going this year. The batting average is not going to be there. So far this year, he's hitting .242 with a .375 BABIP. So, if anything, the batting average is going to come down. He only has 3 home runs so far with 6 RBIs, so you're not getting too much in the way of power to take that hit to the average. And if I got to fuck somebody, it's going to be Justin Bohr, because I think he's going to be one of those streaky kind of guys where you're going to have a stretch where he's going to hit 5-6 home runs in a week, and then you're going to have the next 2-3 weeks of the month where he's just going to kill you, and he's going to hit 200, and you're going to wonder what the hell you're doing with him, and then just as you're ready to get rid of him, power's going to come back. And I think overall he still could finish with 30 home runs even though nobody's in Miami's lineup.
All right, well, why don't we move on to Colin and see what he thinks, and then after we're done with everyone's opinions, we'll all bash someone, so.
So, Ray, it sounds like you're settling with Miguel Cabrera. It sounds like you're unhappy with your relationship, and you're just going to stick with it because you don't think you can move on to something bigger and better. So, that's not my style. I like to stay with someone that I want to be with. So
Colin always pegged me as a settler, though. It's a strange thing.
I'm staying with Miggy for the kids. I'm doing it for the kids
because I mean, Colin seems like a settler because he's a fan of the Rangers. So that's just my 2 cents. But
I'm more like the side piece actually because I just come into this podcast and ruin Evan's spot. So I'm actually going to kill off Miguel Cabrera. I think he's done. I don't see anything at the beginning of the season, especially with the lineup around him. I don't see any help besides Nick Castellanos, and they're rebuilding. And, you know, like you said, Ray, he's going to have those nagging injuries, and I don't see the production yet. I mean, he's hitting .245 with a .289 BABIP, which is right in line with what he did last year when he hit .249 for the season. And he's only got 1 home run, 9 RBIs. I think the RBIs are going to be, close to what he did last season with 60. So with that terrible team around him. So I'm gonna kill off Miguel Cabrera. And I'm actually going to marry Matt Olson because I know that the power is coming. I know that the streakiness is going to come. And whenever it does come, I want to be there for it. And I'm going to be there until the end. Like you said, he already has 3 home runs. He's only hitting .242, but you knew that whenever you drafted him. You knew that you were getting this guy that's going to provide 20 to 40 home runs and with a Joey Gallo type average. And right now he's got 39% K rate, But last year, in his limited sample size, he only provided a 27% K rate. So I see that bouncing out a little bit, and you know he's going to have those streaks where he's going to win you in a head-to-head category week. He's going to win you a couple weeks in a row and get you right back in the thick of things. Or same thing with Roto. He's going to bump you up from you know the seller in home runs to right in the middle of the pack or towards the top after a couple weeks. So I'm going to marry Matt Olson, and I'm also going to fuck Justin Bour just because I'd like to play the matchups with him. I think this week he plays in the Yankees ballpark and also in Milwaukee. So great hitters parks for him, and also against a couple, you know, righties that he can do some damage against. So if he's got a good schedule lined up, I'm more than willing to throw him in my lineup. But there are going to be some weeks where I'm just going to keep him on my bench.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Colin wants to fuck Justin Bour.
What can I say?
Not if I do it first.
I expected more laughter for my joke, but I guess I'm just not very funny. So,
the network acres of this podcast.
Yeah, you know what? You guys have a fun show producing and editing and doing all this on your own. I'm out of here, so I'll see you
done. Later. Done and done. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, what about you, Evan?
So I'm on Mary Miggy Island. Not Island, because Ray was kind of there with me, and I don't think it's settling. The Tigers have been playing in pretty terrible weather, if they're playing at all. And while I don't suffer from back issues, I would think that the colder weather would be worse for what ails him and what kind of, you know, hampered him last year. I know we're looking at kind of the ratios being the same, and it was one of those things that was like, oh, well, last year was one of the only times he's ever hit under 300, and, you know, it's still early. I always go off of the, I don't know, adage or whatever word you want to use, but at this point in the year, I think the pitchers are still just a little ahead of the hitters, and I kind of want to see what happens, you know, when the weather warms up. I think that Miguel Cabrera is going to provide you, as far as ratios, is going to provide you more value than the other two here. And when you're looking at what the power trade-off might be, I think the positives, I mean, it's not like Olson and Bour play in great lineups anyways as far as run and RBI, so those will be kind of crap shoots. But, you know, the batting average could be pretty good for Miggy because he's still a solid hitter. Olson and Bour are kind of the same guy in my head. They're not going to hit lefties well. The capacity to flirt with 30 home runs and best case scenarios is there, even though they're probably going to fall short. So I think about which one that I'm going to be able to cultivate better, and I think about this in like a daily context, and I think I'm going to be able to cultivate Justin Bour statistics a little bit better than I will Matt Olson's. So I would go with him as my boff, if you will, Chuck Anderson. I'll choose to leave the vulgarities to Ben here so he can head his own stuff out. But it's just a matter of personal preference, and I think last year Bour would have put up a fantastic season if he wasn't dealing with the injury stuff. And I think I'm going to go with him over Matt Olson in this scenario.
Well, the joke's on you, Evan. I don't need to edit anything out. I'm allowed to use the expletive words. So, yeah.
You sound like such an adult, Ben, when you say it. You're like a 10-year-old. I'm allowed to use the expletive words.
No. I put my big boy pants on today.
Fucking Nick Markakis.
All right, Ben, come on. Tell us, who's wrong, who's right? You know, this is your favorite part here.
Well, I would personally kill Miguel Cabrera. I would marry Justin Bour, and I would fuck Matt Olson. So,
how are you going to marry Bour whenever we're all fucking him?
Well, I got a problem, I guess, then, don't I?
It is 2018 nowadays. Is there any analysis? Or? Well,
yeah, I mean, Justin Bour is a little bit of a horror, I guess, so.
Wrong kind of analysis.
Oh, I'm sorry. No one corrected me. For me, I personally, it's like Evan was saying, that I think that Justin Bour is very capable of having a season like he did last year if he didn't get hurt. Obviously, the lineup has not been as bad as everyone has thought. Yeah, they're not a great team, but, you know, Derek Dietrich hasn't been as terrible this year. You know, Brian Anderson's still playing well. They have a couple other players that could improve, like Cameron Maybin, Lewis Brinson. So there's some ability for potential counting sets with this team, and I think that Justin Bour is going to be able to put up just as good of a season as Matt Olson, but probably have a slightly better average than him. So that's my reasoning behind that. And with Miguel Cabrera, I haven't seen anything through the first 2 weeks of the season that's made me think that he's going to really bounce back, and that lineup really is a pretty pitiful lineup. I mean, Victor Martinez really hasn't done much. There's not really anyone that gives me any confidence that's hitting ahead of him at this point. And Nick Castellanos, however you say his name, hasn't actually really done much to this point in the season either that's going to drive up Miggy's run total. So I think that's where I'm going. You guys have no comments, nothing? You guys aren't going to bash me like you guys normally do?
We're waiting on it. I mean, I think the point Evan made about Miggy with the cold weather, I mean, I think that does have something to do with it, especially when we're doing this in April. But I mean, yeah, the other two guys are going to be streakier. There's potential for more. You know, that the average wasn't going to necessarily be there for either one of them, especially Olsen. So, I mean, it depends whether Olsen can hit enough to let the power truly shine through that he can keep regular playing time.
I mean, there's a pretty good chance that Chapman's going to have more home runs than Olsen this year, so.
Yeah, no, it's definitely possible. I mean, yeah, he does have three already, and you kind of know what you're getting into, but still.
Yeah. Why don't we move into the next group, and that's going to be Tony Pham, Mitch Haniger, and Gregory Polanco. So why don't we start?
Hang on. This is the second podcast you've done this. What's his first name again?
Tommy Pham.
I swear to God, you've said Tony.
Yeah.
This time, yeah. And you said it last week.
That's actually why I put him in this group, just to hear Ben mess up.
I don't know why I would call him Tony Pham. I think I just speak too fast, and I say...
No. Unless it's Pham. A New York accent thing, or maybe like he's... Ray calling the humidor the humidifier.
I think I have more of a New York accent than Ben, and I can clearly say that it's Tommy Pham.
I mean, I can say Tommy Pham as well, but I think when I speak, I don't enunciate when I speak quickly, and I'll say Tommy Tony. Now I'll say it too quickly. I'm sure when I go back and edit it, I'll hear if I said it, and I will gladly tell you guys if I was incorrect, and if I don't say anything, that means I was wrong, and I won't admit it. So,
well, not being able to speak clearly is a great, you know, a great thing for a host of a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I've been drinking. What's your excuse? Come on.
He's starting the Billy Hamilton fan club.
I'm done. I'm leaving the show. Tell Justin to send me my check. So we have just Pham, no first name, Mitch Haniger, and Gregory Polanco. So why don't we start with Evan?
Why don't we start with Evan? I'm killing Mitch Haniger, and that's not to say that I don't like the start that Mitch Haniger is off to. He's like, his work on pitches outside of the zone probably has a hand in helping his K rate early, but I just really like what Pham and Polanco have done. Probably going to put the ring on Tommy. I know the eye stuff scares people, but I just think the speed variable is going to push him over the top in this set, as I think he's going to hit just a few less home runs than Polanco. But everybody that kind of bought into this Polanco hype, like 120, 130 at the end of draft season, is getting their dividends back for sure. He's doing a lot better on the pull ball, which is where he's going to provide a majority of his power. The injuries really sapped his hard hit percentage on the pull stuff last year, even though he was getting more fly balls into the air. So if he can reproduce the hard hit percentage in that department from 2016 and the fly ball rate in that department from 2017, which is, you know, so far so good, you're going to see great things from Polanco. But I think the speed is going to push Pham just a little bit ahead in this race.
What about you, Ray?
All righty, so I am going to, if we're going to start this off here, I am going to marry Polanco. I was one of those people that benefited during draft season getting him around 100-150 range. It kind of just felt right every draft I was in. He started to slip. I grabbed him. I mean, right now, yeah, he's only hitting 207, but if you take a look, he has a 184 BABIP, walking 14% of the time compared to 6.6% last year. He has the 5 home runs, 15 RBIs, I mean, pretty much to echo everything Evan said, I think this is kind of the year where CM Polanco truly put things together. I'm going to kill off Haniger. I like Haniger. I think he's a solid player. I like the 13.8% walk rate and 15.5% K rate. It's right there. But I think he's going to be, I mean, he has 15 RBIs already in 14 games. Last year in 96 games, he drove in 47 runs. I think maybe he's going to cool off a little bit on that pace. I think he's going to be good enough to kind of taunt you a little bit, but he's not going to really kind of take that next step. And now celebrate Ben's home state. If we're going to talk about Jersey shows, Jersey Shore is back on the air. So I am going to smush Tommy Pham. I think Tommy Pham is, and to say it correctly, Tommy Pham, I mean, he's just a crazy dude. Yeah, I think it's going to be a wild ride. It's explosive. The speed is there. Like Evan said, I'm not really worried about the eye too much. He gives you the speed. He gives you the power. He's clearly a driven, motivated guy. And, I mean, I was looking for reasons not to draft him in February and March this year. And, I mean, so far I'm kind of kicking myself that I only have one or two shares of him.
What about you, Colin?
Yeah, you should be kicking yourself for only having that many shares of him. So I'm definitely going to marry Tommy Pham. I'm very glad that Ben convinced me to take him, for us to take him in the Invitational. So he's providing a first-round caliber talent back to our team. And like you guys were saying, he might, you know, produce 20 home runs and close to 25, 30 steals again. And it looks to me like his eyes are in check. He's got everything figured out with him. He's hitting .322 right now. So, you know, he's got a couple home runs. He looks like the best player in that division right now. So that's a plus for him. I'm also going to fuck Mitch Haniger. So coming off last year, whenever he was the darling of spring training, everyone loved him, expected big things from him for the upcoming season in 2017. He got off to a great start, hitting .340 with four home runs and 16 RBIs, kind of like he's done now. But then he got an oblique injury. So he kind of played through that. He'd had short-term DL stints all throughout the summer. And then come September, he was fully healthy. He got back to what he was doing in the beginning of the season, had seven home runs, 14 RBIs, and hit .353. So I know it's a small sample size, but I think, you know, with the injury issue behind him, with that Seattle lineup being that much better, there's absolutely no pressure on Mitch Haniger to perform. They have D. Gordon, Gene Skura at the top. He did fill in nicely for Nelson Cruz while he was on the DL. So I definitely, you know, if I could marry both of them, I might do that. But I'm definitely going to kill off Gregory Polanco. I don't believe it. Last year, I know he had injury issues, but he's always going to be a middling average guy. I don't see him hitting 20 home runs again. You know, I know Pittsburgh's got off to a great start, but I don't think the team around him is that good. I do think they'll start to sell off some pieces to make it look that much worse come you know, the summer months. But there could be something there for Polanco, but I've seen the hype before. I've seen him disappoint before, and I don't see him ending up the season where he's currently ranked.
So for me, I would personally marry Tommy Pham. I would kill Gregory Polanco, and I would fuck Mitch Haniger.
What?
He's right.
You got a problem with that? Huh? You got a problem with that?
I mean, more Polanco for me, but I mean, that's... Yeah.
Personally, I hate Polanco. The dude, I just don't think the guy's a great hitter. He's not as, sure, he's got, he's showing more power this year than I had expected at this point during the season, but I just don't expect a lot from him. There's nothing for me to expect that even if he regresses towards the mean that he's going to hit above .260. I don't think that he's going to do that. I don't see him being a huge stolen base threat this year for whatever reason. I just don't think he's going to run. You know, if he gets 12, then that's basically where I'm expecting him to be, which isn't a bad number, but I'm sure people were expecting more coming into the season. People were probably expecting close to 20. And, I mean, if he ends up settling at like 13 to 14 home runs for the entire year, then, you know, it's basically an early season hype thing. I think that there's more less expectations from someone like Mitch Haniger, and the likelihood that he exceeds those expectations is probably better. And the reason behind that is because I saw what he was able to do last year before he got hurt, and I think that he's fully capable of putting that up for an entire season. Obviously, Arizona is really disappointed that they ended up moving him, because now they kind of could use another outfielder, considering that they basically picked Tomas over him, and what a terrible decision that was. But I think that he's capable of still hitting like 280, 285 on the season with good power. Not a lot of stolen bases, but I think that what he's going to be able to do is easier than what Gregory Polanco is expected to do. And for Tommy Pham, I mean, the reason that he really always had bad contact in the past was because he needs special contacts, which are super expensive, and couldn't afford them on his minor league salary, which is kind of absurd. So, you know, when he finally was able to get enough money to do it, and he came up to majors, and he showed what he's able to do and how well he can lay off pitches, take walks, he'll get stolen bases, he'll hit for power, he's going to get you a lot of runs. He's probably not going to have a ton of RBIs if he keeps hitting into two hole, but as the season goes on, he's still going to get you probably close to 80 RBIs, I would think. And there's a good chance that they could drop him down in the lineup as if other players potentially get hurt, and if they need some run producing. So there's a chance that that Pham has a top 10 outfield season if he puts everything together.
So real quick, you think Mitch Haniger is going to hit more home runs than Gregory Polanco? Is that what I took from what you just said?
Yep, that's yes. Correct.
No way. Definitely. There is no way that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be one of those things that we're going to have to track. Smott is going to have to teach me how to make a spreadsheet so that I don't have to do any work.
It really shouldn't require a spreadsheet when it's just two numbers.
Okay, well then somebody needs to write it down somewhere, because I will lose that post-it note.
Ray and I have other bets that Ray no longer remembers what those bets were. But Ray and I have made bets on podcasts, and he just hasn't written them down.
Well, there was one karaoke bet that I'm going to have to go back and find too. But yeah, we're going to have to remember this one for sure.
You can go back and listen to our old podcasts. I have an all 200 and... 200 of them since we've started together.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. I can't wait.
Well, I think Ray needs to leave this podcast early, because the guy that he just married, Miguel Cabrera, left the game early with back tightness, and I think he has to tend to that.
In sickness and in health.
All right, guys, why don't we move over to what is possibly the most insulting thing that Ray has ever done to this entire show, I think. And I don't know if we could ever forgive him for this. We'll try, but it's incredibly insulting. It's very hurtful, and it offends all of us deeply on an emotional level, I think. So we have to decide who will die out of Scott Kingery, Ozzie Albies, and Didi Gregorius. It is very, very tough. Why don't we start with Colin?
No, we should start with Ray. He came up with this madness, and he needs to...
No, Ray has to sit and think about what he's done. He will go last.
Oh, man, this is a hard group for me, because I'm Mr. 407 on Scott Kingery. Obviously, my love for him is to no end. Ozzie Albies, I took in, you know, top 8th rounds in a couple of my drafts, and then Didi, I missed the boat on, but it looks like he's just progressing even more than he was last year. So if I have to kill one, it's going to have to be Scott Kingery, just because I don't know what Gabe Kapler will do. He's sitting today. There's a chance that he doesn't play as many games as Albies and Gregorius, you know, even if they're all healthy. So that's the only reason why I would kill him off. He's already hitting 259, 2 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 12 RBIs. That lineup does look like it has some pop, and he's actually batted all over that lineup as well. I know I'm spinning this a positive way, but he's led off, he's hit third, he's hit fourth. I like what Gabe Kapler's doing, but the only downside is I don't know if he will be able to provide the games needed to keep up with the other two guys in this group. So with Ozzie Albies, I'm going to marry him. I think I'm with Evan here. I love what I'm seeing now. He was only hitting, I think, what, Evan, like 230 a couple weeks ago? Or, I mean, a couple days ago. And now he's already up to 328, and he's got five bombs, one stolen base. Every time he runs the base, he loses his helmet. I mean, he's a fun guy to watch. And then I'll just go ahead and just do a one and done with Didi. I'll try and get him as much as I can, and you know, I'll call him up every night, just say, hey, you want to come over? And he'll come over, and he'll provide me with those great stats that night, and then I'll go back to Albie's. And then I'll call Didi the next day or a couple days down the road. So I love this group, but that's what I'm going to go with.
It is a little bit funny that Kingery actually has more at-bats this year than Didi Gregorius. Now I understand that Didi's walking a lot, and Didi's also had a bunch of postponed games. But it is kind of funny that Kingery, who has taken some walks this year, does have more at-bats at this current time of the season than Didi Gregorius. And for Ozzie Albies, I mean, over the last week, do you want to take a guess at what he's hitting, Colin?
It's got to be in the 400s.
It's 522 over the last week.
Yeah, because I know he was hitting 230, and that's where the skeptics came out and said, oh, well, he has four bombs, but he's only hitting 230. So, yeah, I believe it.
Now, it is funny because while he's hitting 522 over the last week, he only has five RBIs and seven runs. So it just means that there's not a lot of other people on for him. Because two of those RBIs are from him hitting a home run. So there's not a lot of other players that are getting on for Atlanta, I guess. And Evan can tell me if this is accurate or not over the past week. I guess they just haven't been putting a lot of base runners on before or after him, and they've been stranding him over on first or second.
Enders had an absolutely horrible start to the year, and he's had a pretty good night tonight, but he is not, like, you think about the Braves being one of the top five run scoring offenses in baseball, and you would think that Enciarte would probably be a huge part of that, being that he's a guy that, you know, we were kind of not penciling in for 95 to 100 runs, but I mean, that's what we were expecting. I mean, it's reasonable expectation. And it just hasn't been the scenario so far. But Ozzy's been playing with his hair on fire. That's why his helmet can't stay on. He's, like, even, you know, things like last night when he, you know, took home on the sacrifice and beat the run, and he lost his helmet there. He's just a really fun guy to watch. The one thing people might get worried about is the lack of walks. And if you watch him bat, it doesn't really look like his approach is going to lead to that because of his leg kick. And I'm not a scout by any stretch of the imagination, but it just seems that he gets his foot down really early in the flight path of the baseball. And it's not that he's just making, like, protective swings at it, because he's obviously, you know, hit, five home runs already. But it's just a very, like, he's kind of already made that decision. He's committed, and he's just going to keep swinging. I would go with Didi for my boff, if you will. I'm a little bummed that I wasn't in on the Didi train. We talked about it on this podcast at one point in time. He had another two home run game, and yeah, sure, it was against the Marlins, but it's more multi-homer games in 2018 than he's had the previous two seasons, and you can say ballpark or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I just don't want to hear it because he's doing it. And while Kingery might actually be the better fantasy option because he's going to provide a lot of eligibility in the midseason if Kapler keeps playing him this way. I don't know. Maybe it's because he's from Philadelphia and I got to be Salt Bay on JR. But I just think that Didi is probably a better hitter as of right now. Not to say that Kingery couldn't overtake him, but at this point in the season, I'm going to have Didi over him in this race.
Well, for me, I personally would marry Didi Gregorius, fuck Ozzie Albies, and kill Scott Kingery. And it pains me to say that, but...
Oh, man, I agree with Ben on all three of these. Oh, man.
I think. No, you sit in your corner, Ray. Let Ben have his...
You sit in your corner. I have no better comeback than what Colin had, so...
Yeah, you do what he said. Yeah, you're just killing it tonight.
I will do that, Ben.
I mean, I personally love Didi. I loved him coming into this year. I think that he's the second best pure hitter on the Yankees behind Gary Sanchez. And I'm sure some people will
think that I'm a little crazy for that, but I mean, yeah, because everyone loves what Giancarlo Stanton has done this year, and me bashing him early in the season, you know, was crazy talk, but who would have figured that Ben could actually be right on something?
Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, Ben.
Is Ben now the person touting on April 17th that he was right?
I was right through the early part of the season.
Jesus. Is that what your statement said, though? He's going to struggle until April 17th?
No, I'll just be right? I just said that he was in the third tier of outfielders, and everyone said I was fucking crazy for that. But anyway, I think that Albies is great. I don't expect him to be able to keep up the average. I mean, yeah, everyone can go on a hot streak, but over the last week, Didi's only hitting like 230, and he's still hitting 327 on the year. So that has shown what type of season he has had. He's hitting in the heart of the Yankees lineup, and at some point, Giancarlo Stanton's going to actually improve. At some point, Greg Bird will be back for 12 games and then hurt his foot again. So, you know, maybe in those 12 games he gets 3 home runs. So we will see. But I think that Didi's still the best pure hitter on this group. And I think that he is going to potentially finish as a top 5, maybe even top 3 shortstop if he really keeps demonstrating that power with the average. Kingery is great, but, you know, he's the least likely to hit 300 out of all of these players. He's probably going to have the lowest average of them all. And while he may have the best power-speed combo, I still think that he's going to get sat down because of how many players there are in the Phillies lineup. And, yeah, he's going to play everywhere, and he's going to get you a lot of eligibility. He's going to be like Marwin Gonzalez in that aspect. But I think that if you had to pick someone to leave off this list, it's Kingery, and Albies is great. And, you know, there's nothing that you can really say against him other than he hasn't stolen as many bases as you would like this year, but he's hitting for more power. He's going to keep hitting number 2 in that lineup and just wait till Ender gets on base and he'll actually be able to start getting more RBIs. So now we should probably skip Ray. So what are your thoughts, Ray?
All right, so obviously I agree with Ben, which is a little troubling. Maybe I'll rethink a life choice or two. But I think we got to my real motive for this game here was just to get everyone to kill off Scott Kingery. Now, obviously, there's a ton of hype on Kingery. Everybody knows what he did last year, AAA. Came up to start the season, got the contract. The playing time we thought was going to be an issue. Gabe Kapler is surprising us in getting Kingery the at-bats. And they're coming all across the infield, which, again, benefits us as fantasy owners, because it gives him that multi-position eligibility. He's hitting 259, 2 homers, 2 stolen bases. I mean, yeah, I still think he's a 15-15 guy. I mean, last year he had 26 homers, still 29 bases between double, triple A. But of these three, I'm killing him off, and I think the hype train might have maybe gotten a little too quick on him this year. I'm marrying Didi because I think Didi just really goes underrated, especially in that lineup, batting in the middle of that lineup. He keeps on living up to the pressure, keeps on coming through, 2-2 homer games. He's driving in runs. He's not going to necessarily be a 300 hitter. He's at 327 now, but I think he'll come down more to like the 270, 280 range, which the RBIs of the home runs is fine with me. And me and Ozzy Albies going to the smush room every night. Albies really is just an exciting player to watch. He has the power. He has the speed. I wasn't worried about the batting average earlier in the season. Obviously, I'm not worried about it now. 5 home runs, 11. The thing for me really is that he's played in 15 games and he scored 16 runs. Granted, 5 of those are on the home runs he drove himself in. But he's batting on top of that, at the top of that lineup. He's getting on base. He's coming around to score. And this is with him walking 1.4% of the time. Once he kind of picked, last year he walked 8.6% with the Braves in 57 games. Once he kind of gets that up again, which I think he will, I think we're going to see the run score get even higher. And he's only striking out 16% of the time, so it's not like the strikeouts are that much of a concern for me either.
I'm sorry, you said mushroom, and I just like went down a horrible path in my mind that I couldn't get over.
I found a snooky, and I cried a little bit.
I've been crying this whole segment with Kingery getting killed off left and right.
It's just a conspiracy against your main event bid, that's it. I gotta do something to get back at you, at your Rangers for taking the series against the Astros over the weekend.
Just Bartolo Colon, man. You can never doubt him.
Nah.
Bart Colin.
All right, Ben. Go back to your corner now.
Okay. Good luck finishing the show without me.
Probably the best pitcher on our team and possibly the second best on the Angels if he was on the Angels.
Yeah, I think so, considering that part of my column of tomorrow is bashing Cole Hamels and saying that should get pretty far away from him, even though he has 30 strikeouts so far.
I agree.
All right, guys, why don't we move into the next group, and we have Blake Snell, Dylan Bundy, and Patrick Corbin. Man, we picked some really good players to talk about, guys.
Thank you.
Right, we're not giving you compliments. You just
he said we, right.
You just made his kill off Scott Kingery. All right? Your contributions are null and void.
It's all a conspiracy against Philadelphia.
Well, don't tell JR that. He'll cry. He thinks that Philly's the best city in the world. He thinks that they're the best sports team everywhere. You know,
that they don't eat horse poop? Like, I mean, yeah, delusional. Like,
there's video evidence of that.
Delusional.
I mean,
he also thinks that the city will be standing if another championship is done.
Yeah, could you imagine if like somehow the Sixers and the Flyers both like won championships? Like, it would be like Armageddon. I'm pretty sure that we'd have to nuke the town. City. It's a city, technically. So
it is a city. and now we've covered geography. Full service here.
Yeah. What's geography? It's like talking about anagrams last week on the podcast.
Yeah, anagrams. That's not his strong suit, by the way, guys.
We go from English to geography. Guys, I suck at this stuff. I'm just here for baseball.
And we told the kids to stop listening to this podcast. How dare we?
All right, guys, why don't we move into who we're going to fuck out of Blake Snell, Dylan Bundy, and Patrick Corbin.
I'm down.
I don't know who I want to go with. It's really tough. I'm pretty sure I kind of want to kill Dylan Bundy, though. I'm just... Mm-mm-mm. You know what, Dylan? I kind of want to kill him more now because of that.
Well, that just means you're wrong because I'm a better fantasy player than you.
That's not true. That's just not true. There's no proof to statistically back this up. There's just none.
If you could just picture the Michael Jackson eating the popcorn meme, and that's totally me right now, just going at it.
I'll just say, if we finish anywhere, revisit
that statement in October.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, he and I aren't in any league. We're in one league together, and we're still in the process of drafting it. It's an inaugural draft, and it's just taking us forever.
Well, actually, we're in a big 15-team league where I let you come on as my co-owner. And if we get there towards the end and we're at the top, then I'm going to take all the credit.
Considering that you, A, joined Friends with Fantasy Benefits late, and B, had to basically beg and cry for me to let you onto a team, I'm pretty sure that's not how it went.
No, there's no proof of that either, so...
I have video evidence. So, for me, I think that I would marry Blake Snell, fuck Patrick Corbin, and kill Dylan Bundy. I loved Blake Snell coming into this year. I think that he started to figure out at the end of last year. He's still walking an absolutely shit ton of people because he's already got 10 walks on the year and only 21 in the third innings. But considering how bad the Rays team is, I think he's one of the lone bright spots in their team because Chris Archer certainly is not. And I think that he's going to be able to maintain a pretty good ERA, he's obviously maintaining a good whip now, even with all the walks, but at some point that's going to have to either result in him walking less people, or that ERA is going to sit around a 3.25 to 3.35. So if he can control his pitches and stop letting people get free passes, then I think that he could end up being
a top 20 starter in this league within the next year. Patrick Corbin's great to see his resurgence. Obviously, everyone's going to give it up to the humidifier out in Arizona, right, Ray?
that humidifier, man.
Yeah, they just put the ball near the humidifier, and it just allows Patrick Corbin to actually pitch well. So, but, yeah, I mean, it's great to see him have a resurgence because, I mean, he was great a couple years ago before he had the Tommy John surgery, and it's nice to see someone actually pick up the slack out there because no one's betting on Tijuan Walker, and obviously Zach Greinke is depressed for something because he's just pitching like shit right now. So it will be great to see if he's able to maintain it for the entire year. And for Dylan Bundy, he's probably having the best year out of all of them right now. I'm sure he'll get hurt at some point because it happens to every Orioles player, and I'm sorry, Colin, but, you know, it's probably going to happen. So he'll miss, like, 2 months because of a shoulder inflammation or something like that, and at least it will be 2 months rather than him getting Tommy John, so.
Yeah, as long as he loses those 2 months in the summer months, because I do kind of agree with what you're saying on Bundy, because in the summer months in Baltimore, it does get a little bit hard for him. I know he started off the season, you know, real good. Real good. Can we cut that shit? Real fucking good. No. What is that?
Getting it real good now.
That's staying in there.
Right then there now.
So, yeah, he's performed at the beginning of the season, but it does have the effect of the colder weather. I do think whenever it gets hotter in Baltimore, those fly balls to the warning track are going to fly out of the yard. So I'll take Dylan Bundy to bed, but I am going to marry Patrick Corbin. So like you were saying, Ben, I do like what I've seen from him coming off of Tommy John. I do think he's had that full year to kind of recoup and, you know, fine tune his pitches. You know, he's had an eight strikeout game, a 12 strikeout game, and a 9 strikeout game to start off the year. And only one of those was away. I know it was against the San Francisco Giants, so that's not really a major league club, but the humidor might just be the best thing for him. And I'm loving, you know, taking him in a lot of my leagues just as a late round flyer, because I did believe in the talent before the Tommy John. And, you know, I'm loving the results so far. And then I'm going to actually kill off Blake Snell. So he kind of showed us, you know, a true Blake Snell start a couple weeks ago whenever he walked 5 batters and struck out 10 guys. So that's just not someone that I'm looking to keep on my team. He showed us, you know, against Texas, he had 9 strikeouts and 0 walks. So there's no consistency. I think, you know, from start to start, he could lose his pitches. He could lose command, and it's just too risky for me. And I mean, the 5 walks was issued against Chicago White Sox. And if you're not going to start Blake Snell against the White Sox, then who are you going to start him against? So, you know, at the beginning of the season, he played Boston and only K'd 2 guys and looked dominant because he only gave up 3 hits. But he's just all over the place. So that's not someone that I want to bank on. I'm going to go ahead and marry Corbin. I'll take Bundy to bed, and I'm going to kill off Snell.
What about you, Evan? What are your thoughts?
So I really like what Corbin's been doing to start this year. We'll go ahead and throw a ring on it there. Colin talked about the strikeouts that he's had this year. He had 8 games last year with 8 Ks or more, started off the season with 3. The change in his pitch mix, too, is another really good thing to see, that he's relying more on his, like, sinker curveball and not so much on his 4-seamer that just gets, like, beat the crap out of. And he's one of 5 pitchers going into today that have a ground ball percentage over 60%. So you add that to the humidifier or humididor or whatever word we're using here, the humidor. I'm going to go ahead and go with Corbin there. I'm going to go ahead and do the 7 minutes in heaven with Bundy. And yes, I said heaven and not an Evan. That's weird. But I think we've all kind of talked about the Bundy breakout, and it's kind of how much do you think about the injury concern stuff? And I mean, anybody can get hurt. And I think he's just a better pitcher than Blake Snell, who I'm going to go ahead and kill here. And it's just a control thing. Four walks per nine isn't, you know, strange territory for Blake Snell. But last year, batters were hitting 232 off of him, and his whip was up at 1.33. This year, they're only hitting 173 off of him, so his whip is only at 1.08. But I'm going to go ahead and say that that's going to normalize a little bit, and he's just going to absolutely tank your ratios as far as your whip and, you know, your ERA is concerned. I think he can be a big time bomb. So he's been really good with the bases empty. But if, like I said, if the walks keep up and, you know, kind of rear their head, it could kind of unravel for him really quickly.
And what about you, Ray?
All right, not to beat too much of a dead horse here on all points that you guys made.
To be fair, you should never beat a dead horse. That's just cruel.
It is a little redundant. I get that. But, I mean, if I was a Philly fan celebrating an Eagle Super Bowl win, maybe I would. I don't know. But anyways, I am going to marry Corbin. Corbin is one of the pitchers I felt really good about going into the season. It was a nice kind of change of pace. If you go, you get your first two aces, then you stack up on the offense, maybe a Gregory Polanco, then you can come back to pitching and take somebody like a Corbin. I think he's fully healthy from the Tommy John. He's striking the guys out. He's getting the ball on the ground. He's not really walking anybody. The ERA is 2.45. The FIP is 1.99. The XFIP is 1.24. So, I mean, so things really are looking good for Corbin. He has a humidor. I had to actually think about that for a minute. He has a humidor in Arizona, so I think that's a bit of a factor. So, Snell, I think it's Colin that made the point of him walking five guys against the White Sox. I mean, that's really the problem with Snell, that you want to try to time those late-night phone calls to Snell when he's going to have control. So when he doesn't have control, it's going to be a little scary. So far, even with the walks, he's been able to kind of dance around the trouble, but he has a 2.95 ERA and a 3.88 whip, and he's also gotten very lucky with the 2.17 BABIP. So I think it's kind of, you know, going to be a little dance of caution there with Snell. And I am going to kill Bundy off just because I'm not sure that he does stay healthy. Pitching in Camden in the summer, AL East with the Yankees, with the Red Sox, could be a little tough. And, I mean, we've never really seen him do it through a full season. Last year he did make 28 starts and pitch in 169 innings, but that was after he only threw 109 innings the year before. So it's going to be interesting to see how he rebounds from that 60-inning jump. I mean, he is a little bit older, but still, he's going to be a sell-high guy for me as we get closer to the summer.
So, on our last Mary Fuck Kill, we have Ken Giles, Brad Boxberger, and Keenan Middleton. So, why don't we start off with Ray, since he's now out of the doghouse. So, Ray, what are your thoughts on these three closers?
Alrighty, I am going to marry Ken Giles. I know that sounds a little weird. I get maybe, yeah, I'm a homer. But he does not have a save. He has one save, actually, so far this year. He's appeared in six games, and he's pitched five innings. Really, I mean, there's not much to speak of so far for Giles this year. I mean, he's gotten into a little bit of trouble. But he has a 3.60 ERA over six innings. So, I mean, that's not really anything serious. We know what happened last year with the playoffs, where they use some starting pitchers to close. We've already seen Davinsky get a save, Peacock get a save on a day when Giles couldn't work on the third day in a row. I think ultimately Giles is going to be the closer. I think the Astros have enough options to obviously close games without Giles, but I think it's the best thing for them, for Giles, to be the closer, and I think they're going to get to that point of him being the closer and maybe not playing the matchups as much. It's just a little bit of a confidence thing. And I'm going to put the time in to make sure that Giles has the confidence and gets back to 30 saves. I am going to kill Middleton for the sheer fact that I don't like the fact I don't like my closers to strike out 6.5 guys for 9 innings. Yes, I know he has a .93 ERA so far this year, but he also has a 90.9 strand rate, a .240 BABIP, 28% ground ball rate, and a .476 xFIP. So yeah, he has 4 saves out of his 8 games, but none of those other numbers really make me warm and squishy. So I'm going to kill him off, and if we're talking warm and squishy, then bring me to Boxberger. Boxberger's healthy so far this year. It seems like Bradley's going to be in that 17th inning swing role, and Boxberger is going to be that guy in the 9th inning. 5 saves so far this year, yet to allow an earned run, striking out 13 guys per 9 innings. That's where I'm going.
Well, let's go with Colin next.
So I think you're going to have a quick divorce with Ken Giles, Ray. I know you said he only has 1 save this season, but it was a 1-out save. And if you recall, which I'm sure you do since you watch all the Astros games, he gave up a very, very close 2-run home run to Byron Buxton down the left field line that was just foul.
Yes.
Prior to getting him out. So it's going to be a quick marriage for you and Ken, and that's fine with me because I've already killed him off. So I don't trust that situation. I think that he is one of the worst relievers in their bullpen because their bullpen is so stacked. They're going to have Peacock save some games. Davinsky, Rondon, Joe Smith, you know, they have Will Harris. I mean, I can just go on and on about guys that are more consistent, that don't give up these big blow-up innings like Ken Giles has done his whole career. So I'll even go one further, and I think that they'll cut bait with him. They'll either trade him or just cut him come mid-season. So wow. I'm definitely killing Ken Giles, and I'm going to marry Brad Boxberger as I was all preseason. I have him on 7 of my 20-ish teams. You know, it was never the performance for Brad Boxberger. It was just the opportunity and then the health. So in his last healthy season, he had 41 saves, and that was back in 2015, which I do understand is a little bit of time elapsed. But, you know, I loved what I saw from him then. He has the opportunity in Arizona. It doesn't look like they want to lean towards Bradley going back to that role. And Hirano is just a guy in that bullpen. So I love marrying Brad Boxberger. I already have, I feel like, and we're having a pretty fruitful relationship so far. And I'm just going to take to bed Keenan Middleton because he's the flavor of the week. So come next week, I'll pick up another guy. I'll go to the dive bar. I'll pick up someone other than Keenan Middleton because, you know, like I said, he's the flavor of the week. Mike Socha is very unpredictable. There's a good chance that tonight in Shohei Ohtani's start that he can go to Blake Parker. He can go to, you know, someone else in that bullpen like Blake Wood and just give him a save. He doesn't care about us fantasy owners, so he's just the flavor of the week, and that's why I'm just going to take him to bed once and probably cut bait.
What about you, Evan?
Wow, that's I love how detailed Colin gets with these metaphors. Like, I knew we were going to get into something with the whole Mary Fuck Kill thing, but, like, you weave the words so well.
Well, you have to go to the dive bars. You got to search. You got to, you know, it's like the waiver wire.
Yeah. Last call at 3 a.m. You got to work the room a little bit.
You've obviously never been to Iowa. That's not how it works. I didn't hear what you said. It's okay. Ken Giles is terrible. I agree with Colin in that regard. And I'm just not as excited as I am. And I know Boxberger, like, yeah, you cite the last good year that he had back. You said it was 2015. But even back then, like, if you take a look at it, at, like, some of the underlying statistics where he was walking 4.5 batters per 9 innings and the home run rate was a little high, but, you know, it could still kind of work around it. You know, the save totals were definitely there, but the peripherals were a little eh. So I do think, you know, like you said, Middleton is a guy that could easily be swapped out if Bedrosian or Parker gets their shit together at any given point in time. But Giles is definitely a guy that I would be looking to get out of my shares as quickly as possible. And I think Hinch has basically, you know, come out and said that there's going to be, you know, a committee. I don't know if that's the word or if it's just going to be that other guys are going to get the opportunities and it's not going to be 100% Giles. But I definitely think Boxberger kind of leads the pack as far as security. And that's not where we were. And not that anybody was saying Middleton's name during draft season at all. But I think a lot of people were down on Boxberger and might have been speculating on, you know, Bradley, Hrano, or any other name. But he's the name that I would definitely go with right now.
Yeah, I'm having a real tough time because I'm not a big Giles fan. I mean, I hate Socha, so can I kill two people?
Is that I mean, if you're a sociopath like that, then sure, go ahead. Do you not have anybody to love then, or how does that work?
I just love Brad Boxberger so much. No, I mean, I was on the Boxberger train from the preseason, too, and, you know, it's basically like Colin said. If he's able to stay healthy, the gig is going to be his because he's shown that he's capable of doing it, and he's done a great job so far this season showing that he's going to be able to hold it as long as he's healthy. Hrano hasn't done anything to take that job away from him, and I think that they're really happy with where Archie Bradley is now, and they could deploy him in the seventh if they needed. They could deploy him in the eighth. They can make him go two innings if they really needed to. So I think they really like that. From Bradley. So I think that Boxberger's here to stay, provided that he's healthy. And I think if he were to become unhealthy, then it becomes Hrano rather than Bradley just because of what they can do with Bradley. I guess I would have to fuck Ken Giles just because I believe that he's more likely to keep the job than Middleton this year just because we've seen how many times Socha can switch a bullpen. And I understand that Giles can easily get swapped out, but I think that during the regular season, he'll have more opportunities as the quote-unquote closer more than Middleton, so I think that will help. Surprised he only has one save this year, but, you know, there's players like Edwin Diaz who have a bunch, and I don't personally think that Edwin Diaz is that great, and neither does Ray, so that is, if you guys won't let me kill two people, then I have to only kill Middleton.
I mean, I think we're saving you from yourself, aren't we?
I think so. That's why we're here.
Oh, you guys talk are, you off the ledge.
You guys are great. You know that? You guys are just such great people. And
it's so great to get that recorded because they don't know the nasty things you say once you stop recording.
I don't say
so.
Any nasty things. Let's be real.
I'm just kidding.
I'm the nicest, sweetest person that we have.
I don't want to make it seem like I'm bullying Ben on my first podcast back. That would be bad.
Hey, guys, just to interrupt real quick with a live update, we just had a Mookie bomb off of Ohtani in the first inning.
Wow. My invitational team enjoys that very much.
That's some sell. Absolute horseshit. Just so you're aware. Just sell?
I'm not even going to say who, just sell. I'm kidding.
Well, guys, before we get wrapped up, obviously we want to give a big shout out to Danielle Salinger because she was the one who brought the Mary Fuck Kill series to Friends with Fantasy Benefits. Obviously, this is something that we just wanted to give her a nice shout out for. So, Ray, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
I'm on Twitter at @Ray_Kuhn_28 and doing this weekly podcast with you guys. I have my article coming out every Wednesday, and you can also find my work at Roto Professor.
And what about you, Evan?
Well, like true gentlemen, we wrap up after we finish with all of the dirty sex talk. But you can find me at FWFB tweeting drunkenly about the Braves and Ozzy Albies losing his helmet, annoying you guys on this podcast, and just talking all kinds of baseball.
And Mr. Wax Report.
So for the record, Evan, we only allow you in here every now and then. That's what Nick Markakis is for the Braves. So but you can find me on Twitter at CWeatherWax13. I'm on a couple other podcasts with Mike Levin and Randy Haynes of FWFB and also with Ben Brennis on the Push Accept podcast, including Donnie Miller. So you can find me there.
And I can be reached at BBrandsFWFB. Colin has correctly said that you can find us on the Push Accept podcast, so good job with that.
Colin, way to steal my plug from me. And you can find me throughout the offseason on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits basketball podcast. And just keep looking for more of the Kuhn and Friends podcast. It's probably the best podcast that we have out there. I think it's the most enjoyable. And we always appreciate the rate and reviews. So from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball season, everyone.